This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake.
It's 85 degrees here in Charlottesville. I hope you're doing well, having a nice Wednesday afternoon. My name's Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. The new hook is out, which means the summer wedding issue is available. It's a hook insert. Pick it up today. It's the best one yet. Chris Graham joins me live on the program. He is the founder and editor at the Augusta Free Press, augustafreepress.com. You can read it there or pick up a copy. And he joins us regularly for a Valley update. How are you, my friend?
Great, Coy. How are you?
Very good. Now, this is a very, very busy time of year for you because you're not just the newspaper guy. You are also the baseball guy.
Yeah, I'm a play-by-play broadcaster for the webcast for the Waynesboro Generals Valley baseball team. And I do all the home games. So luckily, I don't have to do all the games. We play 44 games in about an eight-week stretch. I do 22 of those, still enough, three or four games a week, and it's a summer college league. We're affiliated with Major League Baseball and the NCAA. We have three UVA players playing with us this year, so for the listeners over there familiar with UVA baseball, we've got a couple of those guys over with us, and got a game tonight here in about an hour and a half.
So that's the Waynesboro Generals. Where do they play, Chris? Where do they play over there?
We play at Kate Collins Field, Kate Collins Middle School, right off of Holtman Parkway, and could view the mountains out that way. We're on the, I guess it's sort of the north side of the city.
There you go. Now, I was just over your way yesterday, driving through Waynesboro down Ludewitt Boulevard, and I saw the new movie theater is going up fast.
Yeah, those walls are going up. Yeah, I drive by a couple times a week just to see it myself. Those walls are going up, and the owner-developer, Brett Hayes, is still shooting towards an October 1st opening, and I think all indications are now that the walls are going up, you can really see the progress there. He seems to be on schedule with things for that October opening, so pretty exciting times for Waynesboro as far as that goes.
Yeah, and that'll be the first stadium seating movie theater, all digital. It's going to be the very latest everything right there in Waynesboro. I mean, overnight, the best theater in the region.
Yeah, exactly. Eight screens, all digital, and I think two of those screens are 3D. He raises the bar, no question. I think, really for a region extending from here to Roanoke to Richmond, and I think there might be something that's comparable up in the Winchester area, I've been told, but I haven't seen it for myself. But certainly for maybe a 100-mile radius of us, it's going to be the place to be.
Yeah, it's going to be the nicest movie theater in these parts. He's the guy that owns the Dixie and Vinegar Hill, right?
No, that's Adam Greenbaum. Adam was working originally with Brett. They were partnering up on this project, but something fell through in the financing, and the two parted ways. Actually, Adam at the Visual Light in Stanton, he's got a two-screen theater in downtown Stanton, and both of those are digital. So he's gone the digital route himself. He's the guy who runs Vinegar Hill, and also another theater in downtown Stanton, the Dixie Theater. So he's gone digital, and he's got two screens that are digital, and now Waynesboro will be adding his eight screens in the place.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. While we're on movies, have you seen Toy Story 3 yet?
I have not seen Toy Story 3 yet. Too many baseball games to get out to a movie yet, but I do want to go see that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's the best one yet.
Wow, okay.
Hands down. I took my kids to see it. It was fantastic, and I'm not embarrassed to say that at the end there, and I won't tell you what happens, but at the end, there's tears coming out from underneath my 3D glasses because it was just really, really the best Toy Story yet. I loved it, every minute of it. It was really good.
I like the first two, so that's good to hear. And I guess, the technology for the first Toy Story in particular was so revolutionary. But I can only imagine that it's gotten better with age here, so to speak.
Yeah, it's great. Now, speaking of getting better with age, I-81 has not gotten better with age. It's only gotten worse, become one of the worst highways, most dangerous highways in America. What's the latest?
The latest is there's really nothing going on. I've been writing about I-81 and improvements for 15 years, basically since I got out of college. It was one of the first stories I wrote. I like to say that back in 1996, when I was beginning writing politics and government news, that people were talking about what to do with Interstate 81, and we're really no closer to any kind of solutions or any kind of approaches even to solutions here in 2010. Back in the mid part of the last decade, the Virginia Department of Transportation was talking big time with Star Solutions, a subsidiary of Halliburton, about a public-private partnership that would have tolled up and down 81 to pay for sort of a massive improvement project. They were talking about 8 to 10 to 12 lanes in some locations up and down that 325-mile corridor of 81. That one fell through. A lot of public opposition up and down the corridor. Legislators were leading the effort. I know I talked with Emmett Hanger and Ben Klein. Emmett Hanger, a state senator from Augusta County. Ben Klein, a member of the House delegates from down in Rockbridge County, who also represents over in Amherst. And both were instrumental, among others, Chris Saxton, Steve Landis, here in our area, were instrumental in seeing that that did not happen, that the massive paveover of Western Virginia didn't happen, at least in that context. The question, though, is with all that all that public effort, VDOT still has on the books the official plans as of right now still call for this massive widening of 81, 8 to 10 to 12 lanes. 12 lanes in places like Harrisonburg, Stanton, Lexington, Roanoke, the choke points, you know, in the metropolitan area, so to speak, along that corridor. And so community groups are still saying, hey, you know, we don't have the people behind any kind of effort right now, but we need to keep our eyes on this because the tolling plan is still sitting there as a possibility, and this massive widening is still sitting there. Now, that all said, you know, those who are listening who keep up with Virginia politics know that, one, state finances won't allow for any kind of things to be going on transportation-wise, Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, or the western part of Virginia. And two, I talked with Sean Connaughton for a story that I wrote. We published today on AugustaFreePress.com. Sean Connaughton is the Secretary of Transportation under Governor McDonnell. Basically, he said that his goal in the McDonnell administration is within the 4 years that he has, basically, as Secretary of Transportation, to come up with a plan to do something with 81. And so we're talking about, basically, by that point, 20 years out from the first time I've written a story about this issue, they're still hoping to have a plan in place. So no, I guess the short answer would be not much is going on.
And yet, we're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, and yet it continues to be one of the most dangerous places to put your car, to drive a car.
Exactly. I drove up, was in Maryland over the weekend and drove up 81 to get to Maryland. And, boy, the truck traffic going up and coming back was just what you'd expect, you know, pretty tremendous. That road is carrying a truck congestion capacity double of what it was designed for. About 30% of the traffic on 81 estimated right now is truck traffic. It was designed for 15% truck traffic. So it's clogged up there. You know, 81, for those who've taken 81 would know this, it's really hilly, it's curvy. You know, for an interstate, interstates are mainly supposed to be straight stretches, not a lot of curves, and if it is a curve, it's a pretty soft curve. There are a lot of sharp curves on this interstate, and so there have been some efforts. I shouldn't sell short the work that has been done. There have been some efforts in some locations. For example, in Rockbridge County, there's about a 12-mile stretch, I think it is, of 81 in Rockbridge County from Lexington up to the Augusta County line that is regarded as one of the steeper, actually the steepest incline of that length in the state of Virginia as far as interstate highways go. And what VDOT's done is focus some efforts. They've built a climbing lane, as what it's called, a third lane basically in that area, part of that area at least, to allow for the trucks that are climbing up a long, steep incline to, you know, dig over to the right and allow traffic to proceed around them. But that all said, you know, it's really just, it's sort of, you know, throwing straws out, basically, to try to get, you know, a solution for 325 miles by doing a few miles here and a few miles there. 81, it's still pretty treacherous, no question.
We're talking with Chris Graham, the Augusta Free Press. What's all this about the Wildlife Center and going down to clean up the Gulf?
Yeah, the Wildlife Center of Virginia, located based here in Waynesboro. Ed Clark, the president and CEO of that group, he's been in the wildlife business, as he says, for almost 30 years. The Wildlife Center was formed in 1982, and when things of this nature happen, you know, the Gulf oil spill, he was instrumental in some efforts regarding the cleanup after the Exxon Valdez spill back in '89. Ed was invited down by a U.S. senator from Louisiana, David Vitter, actually, to tour and give some advice on what his ideas might be as for not just the cleanup. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are dealing with cleanup issues specifically, but the impact on wildlife. And Ed says that, of course, this Gulf of Mexico habitat is one of the world's most diverse. It's an area where you see, you know, South American migratory birds If it's as far north as they'll go, the birds from the Arctic Circle will come down. It's part of their natural migration patterns. It's an area that's very instrumental in really what happens throughout this Western Hemisphere. So the impact thus can be very tremendous, I guess, up and down this these Americas here, based on what's happening there in the Gulf. And so Ed gives this advice. He goes out, or is asked to give this advice. He goes to the Gulf and runs into red tape issues. And that's actually what the story that we wrote this week was focusing on, was the fact that, at least according to Ed, he ran into lots of red tape with federal bureaucrats who basically said, thanks, we got it all covered, we don't need your help. He's a little concerned, not just that he's been shut out, but that university researchers who are going to do similar kinds of jobs are also being shut out. It's sort of being equated to the response that FEMA had after the Hurricane Katrina a few years ago. It's almost like the federal government's sticking its head in the sand here once again. Maybe they're putting their heads in the oil here at this point, instead of looking for help and getting it where it could be. As Ed says, there are plenty of experts who work for the various environmental agencies in the federal government, but as he likes to say, a lot of them are desk-bound bureaucrats, and they're desk-bound experts, and people like him and others who have expertise in the field could be drawn upon for their expertise, but right now they're not being.
Amazing. And you can get that story at theaugustafreepress.com. Chris Graham, the founder and editor with a Valley Update. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.